such a...
So every time you talk about being present, you are talking about that inner awareness of your own body, of what's going on in your own body. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of it. So for me, being present is being present in three different areas at the same time. It's being present in my body and being present in the surrounding. So it means I'm really feeling the maybe listening to the birds, or when I'm in the room, I'm somehow aware how the room is and how it feels. And if I'm with the horse, then I'm also somehow aware, at least somehow, as much as possible of, yeah, let's say at least of my surrounding and of myself at the same time. So sometimes people practice yoga or other or meditation where they are for a while only present in their body, and maybe then they go to a nature and they are only you know, enjoying the surrounding. But I believe that to be able to really be present with somebody means that we have to learn to be present in our body while we are also present with our surrounding. Or something
outside of ourselves. And the surroundings include our horse, if our horse is in
yes.
the surroundings.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
So being present with the horse while being present with ourselves.
Yeah. I remember when Bobby was drawing me into that feeling of listening inside myself. He wanted me to, first of all, he guided me to actually feel it, you know, feel that inner awareness. And then after a couple of days, he made it very clear that he wanted me to, when I was working with him, he wanted me to be in that space as well. And I remember throwing my hands up in the air and saying, I can't do two things at the same time.
Yes, yes, exactly. Like,
now,
oh
the
my
wonderful
God.
Thing about what I do now is that I teach that inner awareness in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
In such
yes.
a way that we anchor it in such a way that people just take it out to their horse on autopilot, which is so much easier than the way I did it. And poor Bobby, I wrote two books about hearing your horse talk to you, about communicating with your horse. And and long after those books were written, he says to me that he's been shouting all this time, and now that I'm in this place of inner awareness, he doesn't have to shout anymore.
yeah, that's exactly right. That's it. Until then, they're like, hello.
Yeah, I know. That was very good for my ego to think for years I had been teaching people how to hear horses.
Yeah.
And all that time, my horse was shouting at me.
Yeah. That's what they often do. And I also love to teach to people that, because horses can't speak. We as people are very vocal, and often our pets, like dogs and cats, they can bark and they can meow, and you know, if you do misjustice to a cat, they let you very much know it with vocally. And if you step, everybody knows if you by accident step on a paw of a dog, then you almost feel like they are dying completely. You know, the sounds are there. They make like, oh. So we are often walking in our life a little bit not so aware and waiting that something vocal wakes us from our, you know, just kind of breaks our pattern. If you are in a traffic, you can just kind of drive mindlessly until somebody uses the horn, like, hey, you know, wake up. But with horses, they don't have that. They can't produce a sound. First of all, horses don't have sound for pain. They don't have voice for pain. So this is really important for people to understand. They can't produce. And they can hinnick, and they can say, but mostly when they are just trying to, when the more they are worried or in pain, nature has made them quiet because they are prey animals. So they can't do that verbally or vocally. So it really means that we have to be in another kind of state of being to listen to them, to see their subtle signals. And they're like Icelandic horses. They especially are very, not, let's say, they don't make big number often out of themselves and out of their emotions. So people have to be really in a quite quiet state of mind to see all the little subtle changes, what's going on, because otherwise they just freeze and they look very kind, but actually they are worried, or something like this. So that's why horses are such beautiful teachers in this peacefulness and inner presence, because in the end they are relying on it. They are actually very helpless if we are not there.
And that's when they can only reflect it in what we would think of as bad behavior.
Yeah, exactly. So of course there are, so to say, problem horses who then bite, and then we call them problem horses. We say they are nasty. They are bad horses because they paw. You know, they make noises with their hooves, or they bite, or they kick. But they are actually horses who don't accept that we don't listen to them. And they say, hello! So they are actually a savior of humankind. They are often, the problem horses are the horses who force people who otherwise, who don't listen. You know, and they, maybe Bobby wasn't the problem horse and my horse wasn't the problem horse, but we were somehow sensitive enough to still realize that they are trying to scream to us, even without biting and kicking.
Oh, no. poor Bobby, he was the problem horse.
Yeah, well.
And for two years, yeah. I was so angry with him. For 2 years, I could barely even look at him. He was such a problem horse. And when I look back at it, I'm almost ashamed. I'm not ashamed, because it was part of, you know, it was part of my growth and part of my journey. But, you know, I look back and smile and think, wow, that was a wasted 2 years, wasn't it?
Yeah. But it's just, the beautiful thing is that horses, when we finally get there, when we finally start to understand and we are in a different place where we are not always just having good intentions but not listening. You know, a lot of people have good intentions and they've been reading all kind of beautiful books and going through beautiful clinics and they have good ideas, but they still don't just listen. They don't just try to understand what's going on in the horse right now. So when we finally get there, the beauty of horses is that they don't say, all these years I've been trying, but they say, hooray,
I know,
you are there.
So generous.
Fantastic, she did it, she's there. And they are just and only happy that from now on, there's a language that you have something to, you can communicate somehow. You can start to learn to find out how does the other one work, how does she speak, on how is he. So they don't judge and they don't blame for all the years. They are just welcoming us to the sense finally.
They're in the heart feel.
That's it. That's the thing. They are always there. Always.
They're so generous.
They are absolutely just miraculous, beautiful animals.
We've got